The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program. The information provided is not intended to substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek the advice of your personal physician or other qualified healthcare professional before changing your healthcare treatment, diet, or lifestyle.
Hello and welcome to the Ocean Mist Power Hour. I'm your host, Misty Young, with my co-host, Sherry Carey Baum, today.
Good morning.
Good morning. We are broadcasting from KCIW FM 100.7 on your radio dial, right here in Brookings Harbor, Oregon. It is the gateway of the Great Pacific Northwest. It is about as far, but not quite the total farness that you can get in the Great Pacific Northwest on the continental U.S. This is the home of daffodils in December, flowers all year round, and the nicest people you'll ever meet. This is where the mountains and the old-growth redwoods meet the sea, and Harbor and Brookings is home to me. So welcome, welcome, welcome to this broadcast today. We'll probably talk about nutrition. Well, come on now. You know we're going to talk about nutrition. This is what we live and die for here. Before we get started, I'd like to give a big thank you to all the folks behind the scenes here at KCIW, including our sound engineer, the production crews, and the folks on the board of directors and the volunteers who are out there helping make this little station that could, that did, that is the station that is bringing Curry Coast Community Radio to you. And if you're so inclined, go visit us on kciw.org, become a member, make a contribution, and of course you can download or look at or review all the old and archived issues of the Ocean Mist Power Hour and every show that is offered here on KCIW. So you know we're going to talk about health. You know, I'm not a doctor. I'm a nutrition geek. I'm not a scientist. I'm a nutrition nerd. You know that I hold a nutritional therapist certificate from the Health Sciences Academy and a plant-based nutrition certificate from the T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies. So does my colleague and show host, co-host, Sherry Carey Baum. Sherry, tell us who you are.
I am Sherry Carey Baum and have been a nurse for 35 years. I've been a nurse practitioner as well as a midwife for about 17, and really became dedicated to nutrition to try to help improve my patients' lives.
I love that.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Because really, truly, and you hear this all the time, medicine isn't for healing, it's for stabilizing.
Yes.
You know, it's not wellness medicine, it's sick medicine. Everybody who comes in for medicine is sick, and we're keeping them sick. We're just putting Band-Aids on their illnesses. We're not reversing illness. And whole food plant-based, a healthy whole food plant-based diet can reverse disease. We've proven that. Cardiac disease, diabetes. So that's who I am, my mission.
I love it. You know, right now we're recording this at the very early part of March 2020, and there's a big scare, a big epidemic and pandemic, and it's all over the news, and it's all about
this
COVID-19, or also known as the novel coronavirus. And it's interesting. My husband, Gary, I always love to rat Gary out on the show.
He's such a good man.
He's a good guy. And I don't have anything to rat him out about right now, but he said something yesterday, and again this morning he brought it up, and I was so thankful that he said this. He said, you know, I appreciate that the coronavirus is all over the news, because what they keep saying is your best defense is to wash your hands and stay as healthy as you can. Stay healthy, right? And
absolutely.
I can't help but be excited about that, because I know that if you're eating a whole food plant-based diet, if you're having a lifestyle that focuses on whole foods, you're putting the world's strongest, most nutritionally complete materials into your body.
Absolutely.
That supports your health.
You're helping to heal your immune system.
Yes.
So once your immune system is nice and strong, you may still get sick.
Yes.
You know, we all get viruses once in a while. So you may still get sick, but the intensity, the duration, the criticalness of it is much less than it would be if you were a smoker, if you were a sad standard American diet eater where you don't have the phytonutrients, those wonderful chemicals that the plants create to protect themselves. That's what phytonutrients are. The plants are protecting themselves from bugs and slugs and whatnot.
Yeah.
And they create these things that help to heal. Well, when we eat the plant, that's what we're getting. So we're getting that defense system from the plants.
Isn't that interesting? I can't
it's
help.
Fascinating.
I can't help but think about a plant that has no skeleton. It's just a plant material. it's a living plant. So it's just interesting if I think about a big, tall plant, something we eat or don't eat, that literally has no skeleton. If you cut it at the base and you lay it down, and it's now dead because it's no longer attached to its root system, if you were to try to stand that plant up, it's just going to fall over.
Right.
Because the living, the phytonutrients that are living in it, that are holding up the cells, that are creating the strength in that plant, are the same things that we ingest that help us stand up straight, hold to our bodies, hold, you know, the stuff in our bodies that makes us strong.
Absolutely. And part of the structure of the plant is its fiber.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
The fiber is what we're actually eating that's healing our body also. And if you look at the standard American diet, there's no fiber in meat, dairy, cheese, fish. There's fiber. And fiber is so crucial to
yes.
your intestinal tract and to your health, all of that. You just need it so desperately. And we look at people that have no fiber in their diet.
I was totally going to ask you, how much fiber is in meat?
None.
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 So there's so I'm just triple checking now. There's no fiber in meat.
No.
There's no fiber in dairy.
No.
There's no fiber in milk.
No.
There's no fiber in cheese.
No.
No.
Fat.
Okay.
Cheese is 70% fat.
Oh, man.
70. Think about that.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. No, thank you. You know, we were having a conversation just yesterday. I wish we could be like normal friends, you know.
We try. We talk about our kids.
We do. We talk about hiking. We talk about our love for the earth and for animals.
It's about 2% of our conversation.
And then 98% is, did you know about fiber? Did you know about sugars? Well, yesterday you said something that you've said it before. And of course, I've heard this in other places, but it just really struck me. We were talking about diabetes, we were talking about insulin resistance, we were talking about sugars specifically. And you commented that the reason people with diabetes can and should eat fruit is that the fiber in the fruit slows the absorption of the sugars. It
Absolutely.
Moderates or modulates the absorption of the sugars into the digestive system.
Slowly,
is that right?
Right.
It slows
so
it down.
So you're not getting that spike of glucose. And along with a spike of glucose, you're also getting a spike of insulin. And the problem also can go back to how much fat do you actually carry in your body? How much do you weigh? How much fat is in your cells, in your muscles?
Like a percentage of fat, you mean?
Well, just not even a percentage, but how overweight, how much is your BMI? Because we now know that the reason we get insulin resistance is because of the fat in our cells. And I heard, I think it was Dr. Bernard used this perfect example about insulin resistance, which is type 2 diabetes, right?
Yeah.
He said, the way that glucose works is insulin is the key to the lock that allows glucose into your cells. Okay, so that makes sense.
Insulin is the key to the lock that allows glucose into your cells. Okay.
So insulin allows the cells in. And if you visualize, it's like a little lock that you open with the insulin and then the glucose can go in like a door.
Yes.
Okay, your fat, the fat in the muscles, the fat in the bloodstream is like a wad of gum that somebody has shoved into the keyhole.
Ew.
Well, I didn't mean it to be so descriptive. But it's a perfect way to visualize it.
Yes.
And that fat isn't allowing the insulin and the glucose to get into your cells.
Right.
And so you've got more and more glucose circulating because it's not being taken in and you're not using it for energy. So
right.
it's either continuing to be circulated or it's being turned into fat.
Wow. So the fat gums up the lock. Literally,
yep.
it just
literally gums it up. Is one of the physiologies of it to
yes.
where it's just not allowing the insulin to work the way it should. So truly eating a low fat diet, which is whole food plant based,
yep.
exercising really will make a difference in diabetes.
I love
and
it.
And diabetes is a stepping stone to cardiovascular disease, right?
Right.
We all know that.
Right.
So, and we were going to talk about numbers today. So it's kind of a great lead into metabolic syndrome.
Yes. Yes.
And where that leads us to.
I totally want to go there. So let's start talking about numbers. Can we start? Because I want to talk about metabolic syndrome. I want you to take that where you're going. But we've just kind of talked a little bit about BMI.
Right.
And what is BMI? It's body mass index,
right? Body mass index.
Can you talk about that a little
bit?
Yeah.
Well, You know, we have to come up with a way to help people understand whether they're overweight or not, mm-hmm. or obese. You know, you have to have some kind of a
some
spot.
Method to measure, a baseline, if you will.
Right. And right. So basically they develop this, and it's kind of taking your height and your weight and what you, the number of calories that you would normally use just functioning your body.
Yes.
So typically just an estimate is about 1,200 calories just to exist.
Just to exist. So you wake up in the morning.
Depending on who it is. Yeah, men and women are different.
Yeah, you don't eat anything, you don't do anything. Just being alive is going to cost you about 1,200 calories a day.
Yeah, 1,000 to 1,200. Just your heart working, all of those things. So the body mass index is a nice way for us to calculate weight and height to tell us who's overweight and who's not. And I always found it. I mean, I was one of those nurses who is pretty kind. So it was easier for me to say your BMI is a little bit high rather than, because it's devastating to be told you're either overweight or you're obese. I mean, that is devastating. So when you talk about BMI, sometimes it's just a little bit more gentle. But we know that if you're below 18.5, you're underweight. And that comes with complications too, right? Because you're not giving yourself enough calories. We worry about different things like anemia, osteoporosis. Maybe you're just not functioning well.
And, yes.
And underweight is not better in the sense that it actually is correlated to a higher rate of mortality, just like being obese is.
Right.
So we want you to be in that normal BMI.
Yeah, and you want to be in the sweet spot.
You really do.
And in this case, it's one of those things. You want to know your numbers.
You do. And you want to know your numbers, not even just for that, because this is just kind of a rough estimate. It's not perfect. It's just a guideline.
Yes.
So normal is between 18.5 and 24.9.
Yep.
And then overweight is 25 to 29. And then obese is over 29, 30, right. 30 and over. And it's just a nicer way of saying it. Basically. But that's just one factor. The other factor that I want you to take into account is what is your waistline measurements? Mm. You need to actually measure. So this morning, I was talking to my girlfriend. She actually lives in San Diego. And twice a week, we put on our headphones and our telephones. And so we walk like 3.5 miles.
That is so cool.
And we still get to connect. Isn't that cool?
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
It really continues that bond, because once I've moved up here, it was a little sad.
Yeah, it gets awkward.
But this is perfect. Yeah. Anyway, to get back to my girlfriend, she has started the whole food plant-based diet about a month ago, really got serious about it.
Yes.
And she was kind of saying she wished she had measured her waist.
Yes.
Because her numbers, her weight numbers, her scale numbers are going down very slowly, but her waist is trim.
She can feel it.
She feels that her stomach is getting smaller.
Yeah.
Now, is it the weight or is it the bloating? You know, you don't know. But again, what a great way to look at it. So starting with your waistline measurements are also important when we talk about metabolic syndrome. Okay. Because the weight that we carry in our waist is the weight that increases our risk for cardiovascular disease. It increases our risk for metabolic syndrome. And typically, that's because a lot of that weight isn't just on your gut. It's also around your organs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to measure your waist. A woman, we would like her less than 35 inches. Around the waist.
Is the waist considered the smallest point, or is it a little lower, is it a little higher?
Right about your belly button.
Right about your belly button.
Yep.
So that is just about your smallest point. Okay.
Right. So...
okay.
Your belly button.
Okay.
And then men should be under 40.
Under 40 inches. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we've got our BMI, our body mass index. What level are you in your height and your weight? Are you normal? Are you overweight? Are you in the obese category? You're going to check your waistline measurement.
You're going to do both of these things, right? I mean, these would be numbers that you could put out. You could track your own numbers or begin. So you're going to set up a baseline, right? So you're going to say, I'm going to check my BMI. I'm then going to do my waistline measurement.
Absolutely.
You're going to chart these things down, because as you move forward in your journey to health, they become a baseline that you can bounce back against to see what progress you're making. Is
Absolutely.
That right?
Absolutely. And it's kind of rewarding to see numbers go down. I mean, it's like when you have a task list and you get to check it off.
I love to check it off.
Me too. So rewarding.
Right?
But it's also rewarding to look back, because humans, we forget. We forget what we felt like. We forget what we look like unless yes. we're always looking at pictures. So to have it in a journal, you know, this was my BMI on such and such date. And
yes.
you can go on any internet source, look up BMI calculator
yes.
and plug in your data and
yep.
bam,
you get
the results.
Right then and there.
For me to tell you how to do it, it's
crazy.
Know, square this, multiply this. Mm-hmm. It's like, just go to the calculator.
Just go, yeah. In fact, there's a super easy one. If you literally type in BMI calculator, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services calculator is at the very top of the list.
Yep.
It comes in English and in Spanish. It comes in
nice.
Standard and in metric. But it comes at the top of the list. You don't have to sign in. You don't have
nope.
to opt in. You don't have to give an email. You just put in your height in feet and inches. And your weight in pounds, and click that
bam.
Button, and bam, you get the information.
And I recommend if you're going to take this journey of whole food plant-based for your health or your mental health, any reason, start a journal, because these are the
yeah.
fun things to look back on. How did I feel today? What was my weight? What was my waist circumference? Do you have to do it every day? No. Some people are great journals. I'm one of those people that... is good for a little bit.
Like you'll go for a few weeks and then like 3 years later, oh yeah, there's that journal.
I think you're giving me more credit. Even 2 weeks is a little tough for me. But writing it down is going to really help you. The second thing is your blood pressure.
Okay.
Now, blood pressure is very important and we all know that. Unfortunately, as we age, we think it's normal to have high blood pressure. Guess what? It's not.
It's not.
Not everybody has to have high blood pressure. A lot of it is related to what we eat. Do we exercise?
Mm-hmm.
Those factors make a huge difference. I mean, I've bragged about my husband's blood pressure at 70.
Yeah.
Well, he's almost 70. I shouldn't age him more than he is.
Almost.
To have a normal blood pressure.
Yeah.
And people don't think it's possible. It's possible and it's normal.
It's normal to have a normal or low blood pressure. High blood pressure is a lifestyle issue, right? I mean,
it is.
Is there?
It's cardiac.
It's
you
cardiac.
Know, I mean,
yes.
it's your heart trying to pump the blood through your vessels. So when you look at your blood pressure, you've got a top number, which is the systolic, and you've got the bottom number, which is the diastolic. And the top number is the peak amount of pressure that it takes to push the blood through your arteries. So it's the force that's necessary.
Okay.
Okay. And then the diastolic is its lowest pressure. So if you've got a lot of cholesterol, if you've got a lot of plaque in your blood vessels, they're more narrow. And they
right.
also get to be less flexible.
Right.
So it takes more force for that heart to try to pump the blood
right.
through these stenotic or stiff arteries that are really attributed to food. You know, I mean, it's our food choices, right?
Right.
The high cholesterol, the plaque, inflammation causes inflammation, not just in your whole body. It causes inflammation in the vessels. And when you think about cholesterol and plaque, it starts out as a Band-Aid. A patch. There's an area that's kind of rough or whatnot. The cholesterol kind of patches onto that and
right.
then it builds up on itself and it causes obstruction. But your poor heart is trying to push that blood through there. So that's what blood pressure is. We typically want it below 130 over 80. And I know that seems low. It does seem low according to what we used to think years ago. Like
yeah.
even 10 or 15 years ago, we thought, well, that's perfectly normal. Well, we kind of like it below that now because we're finding that the higher the blood pressure, the higher risk of cardio incidents, heart attacks, strokes.
I want to come back to the idea of the cholesterol being a Band-Aid.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a rough patch in your artery, first of all, where do those rough patches come from? Are those dietary things?
Well, inflammation, and we know dietary
is
the number one issue with inflammation,
yes.
right? We've
yes.
talked about that a little bit of how inflammation causes, you know, short-term inflammation is great for you. You stub your toe, you have a cut, whatever, it turns red, warm.
Yep.
You know, everybody's going there to heal you. It's
yep.
our little white nurses with
little
their caps.
White nurses with their caps rushing in to take care
white
of the patient.
Blood cells, yep,
yeah,
we're going to do this. Unfortunately, when we're in a constant state of stress,
those nurses are working overtime.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Right? Because
yes.
stress isn't, you know, whether it's nutritional stress or
yes.
emotional stress,
mm-hmm.
all of those things, it's not isolated to one spot, like a splinter is in your finger.
Right.
Those lovely little cells go, I know how to fix this. I'm going to run over to here and fix that little splinter. Versus body inflammation, it's kind of everywhere.
Right. That makes sense, of course.
So, anyway, that's part of the problem with the blood pressure is that we've got too much plaque and the cells are no longer flexible, so they're not opening and closing, right? So you're going to have more complications. You're going to have more heart disease, more complications.
It's so amazing. So there's inflammation, there's a little rough patch, and the cholesterol kind of comes in to act like a Band-Aid, and then it is sort of an attractor to other cholesterol,
right.
And it just pounds on, gloms on, and before you know it, you got a lot of cholesterol in your your veins and in your arteries.
And where do we get the largest percentage of our cholesterol and saturated fat?
Yes, from animal products.
Fats,
right, that's where it comes from.
You know, the one thing that shocked me the most, and I don't know why it never really reached out to me. I mean, I've already said that Alzheimer's and dementia is one of the things that scare me.
Yeah.
I mean, we all have our
fears. Yeah, right, right.
And that one scares me because I watched, you know, my grandmother, I lost who she was. And that was devastating for me. So it's my biggest fear is Alzheimer's and dementia. I just really don't want to be there. And the fact that I didn't really connect the cholesterol is in all of your vessels. It doesn't just say,
right.
I'm going to hang out in these big arteries,
right.
You know, the ones coming from your heart to your arms and your legs. But that it's in even the little tiny ones in your brain, and that you get lack of oxygen to certain parts of your brain, that really we're learning that high cholesterol impacts every vessel.
Mm-hmm.
And more research is directing it towards a issue with Alzheimer's and dementia.
Oh my gosh. So there's a million questions just like coursing through me.
We still have numbers though.
I know we still have numbers, but I still want to ask a couple more questions, but just specifically about cholesterol. So we need cholesterol in our bodies, right? But we make it ourselves.
We make it in our liver.
We Absolutely. Make our own cholesterol. So the problem with high cholesterol is we're putting in cholesterol from outside sources,
right.
From foreign sources. Literally, we're putting an invader into our body. And I would think sort of like when you get a heart or a lung or a liver or a kidney transplant, your body oftentimes sees that as an invader. I gotta think when we're putting in cholesterol from all these other animals, that your body might go, whoa, that's an invader. Your body kind of doesn't really know what to do with it, and it just gloms on and adds up. What do you think about that?
You know, I think it's a good theory, but I don't think we've researched it.
Okay.
I don't think
not
that
scientific.
We isolate it to that degree that's also increasing inflammation.
Yes.
I don't know. It's a good theory. I mean, I think it would be a great theory to test. A lot of our studies are coming from Riverside with the Seventh-day Adventists.
Yes.
And because that population, in the Seventh-day Adventists, religiously, they're not supposed to eat meat, animal products, right? So they're all vegans. Well, they're not all vegans.
They're vegetarians.
Some of them actually eat meat. So you have that whole spectrum.
Right.
You know? So they're the perfect people to study because you've got some that are the strict vegans.
Right.
That eat absolutely no animal products.
Yep.
Then you get some of them that go, a little dairy's not going to make God mad. I don't know.
Whatever, I shouldn't have said that,
but I don't know. And then you've got the meat eaters.
Yes.
But we know they don't smoke and they don't take caffeine and they don't drink.
Right.
So what a perfect group to study.
Yes.
So it would be interesting to see if they had higher inflammation marks because of the external cholesterol. But I think maybe just cholesterol is going to increase it, whether it's from an animal.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but a good theory.
Yeah. I mean, the bottom line is we do need it, but we make it.
Right. We don't need to add
it. It's on board. We already have it on board.
Right.
So I really appreciate you going down that path with me. I love how I can just bounce an idea off of you and you go, well, you know, that's cute and everything, but here's what the science says.
No, I think it's a good theory. I think it's a great theory. I never went into research and maybe part of me would have liked that to be part of my career, but I loved patients too much.
Yeah,
I love people too much. You
can't
put me in a room and I won't go crazy.
Yeah, I get it. All right, so we've talked about cholesterol, but there's things about cholesterol that I think most folks don't really understand. There's sort of the good cholesterol, there's the bad cholesterol. So is there a good guy and a bad guy? And
there kind of is.
Yeah.
First, you have your total cholesterol.
Okay.
So when you go into your doctors and they say, okay, we're going to run a panel on you, they're going to do a total cholesterol. And the total cholesterol is actually the LDL and the HDL plus 20% triglycerides. So it's kind of an overview.
So the LDL is a low density lipoprotein.
Sorry, yes,
that's
it
okay.
Is.
HDL is high density lipoprotein. And triglycerides, is that sort of a measure of sugars you've put in your body?
It is in a way. The sugars impact it.
Okay.
Okay. It's okay. Still a form of cholesterol, but it's more affected in that.
So there's those three primary components, right. LDL, HDL, and 20%.
And that's going to be your total. But
who's
then,
the good guy? I want to know who the good. Well, I want to know who the bad guy. I want to know all the good guys and bad guys.
HDL is considered the good guy.
Okay.
And we want that for women greater than 50.
Okay.
For men greater than 40.
Okay.
Now, one thing I want to go back to your total cholesterol is your nutrition can impact it. They've done studies, and good nutrition, whole food, plant-based diet, not increasing your cholesterol through animal products,
yes,
really can make a difference. And minimally, they've done research, and it's made a difference of at least 30%. So you will reduce your overall cholesterol by 30% with just the intervention of lifestyle eating. Whole food, plant-based.
I feel like, and I just popped up Dr. Greger's website. I feel like there's a study that he has done on flax seeds for lowering cholesterol. Do you remember that? It seems to me that he has talked about flax seeds and oatmeal, both of those being sort
definitely.
Of little scrubbers.
Right, because again, you're high fiber,
yes.
All of that.
Yes.
So yeah, absolutely. High fiber is going to reduce your cholesterol. It reduces your fat. Dr. Greger has got study after study that talks about when you eat a high fiber diet, some of that external fat that you take into your diet sometimes will leave with the fiber. I can't remember the exact percent, but there's a percentage that will be excreted.
Leave with the fiber. So it's
right.
almost like, I mean, I sort of
like
think of fiber as like a little scrubber, a little, you know, yeah. a little mop that kind of comes in and cleans
exactly.
up.
I think of it like a scrungy sponge. You
nice.
Know, like, let's clean out those intestines.
Love it. That's awesome.
It is good.
And I think I've also known that exercise helps to
Absolutely.
Reduce cholesterol in a tremendous way. And exercise, diet and exercise, lifestyle alone, from studies that I have read, and I wish I was able to just quote this right this second and tell you what study, but I'll tell you what. I often tell you about studies here. We often say things here on the Ocean Mist Power Hour, and then I want to be really adamant about it and say, don't take our word for it. Go do the math. So we want you to go look those things up too. And it's super easy. You just go to nutritionfacts.org. I mean, this is probably one of the best entry-level places that you can go on your own. It's not a bunch of medical stuff that you can't understand. Yes, there's medical science-based, evidence-based nutrition information and all the scientific studies to back it up and talk about it. But there's also just a lot of plain English information, whether it's in a podcast, an audio, or a video, or a blog post. I mean, you can read it, you can hear it, you can watch it. I love this resource and I encourage you to use it. And by the way, since I'm on that little rant, thank you for joining us here. Thank you for being part of the Ocean Mist Power Hour. I'm your host, Misty Young, with my co-host, Sherry Carey Baum. We're coming to you from KCIW 100.7 FM on your radio dial or anywhere in the world, any time of day, wherever you might be, possibly intergalactically. I don't really know, but our podcast, I think, reaches at least Neptune. Maybe further, I'm not
sure. San Diego. My friend in San Diego.
I bet there's a town called Neptune on the planet here somewhere. There must be.
Must be.
But I really mean it's going to reach the planet Neptune, like the actual planet. Anyway, thanks for being here. Do the math yourself too. Be sure
Absolutely.
To go look for things. If we say something and you think, I don't know about that, go find out. Do a yeah. little, you know, go research it.
Well, and that's the whole point of the whole food plant base. You are working in connection with your doctor.
Yes.
You know, you really, if you have healthcare needs, diabetes, high blood pressure, you're on medication, always check in because there is going to be change.
Exactly.
And it can be drastic.
And
so
it can
be really
dramatic
have to,
and rapid.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So make sure you're always connecting in with them. But when we talk about the HDL, which is our good cholesterol,
yes.
we talked about the recommendations. How do you increase it? Like you just said, exercise. The omega-3s also help to increase it. Now, I'm not going to recommend that you eat fish to get your omega-3s.
Ew.
Well, they have fish oil
capsules.
Tablets.
Ew.
Yeah.
Gross.
Oh, if you've ever taken them, then you like burp forever. Ew. Oh my goodness. But we won't go there.
Well, but and the research has shown that there's no benefit coming from the fish oil.
And sometimes there's no benefit, and sometimes they're, depending on where you're getting your supplement, they can come with mercury, other things like that. So you have to be really cautious about what you're getting. But you can add chia seeds, flax seeds, hemp seeds, nuts. All of those have wonderful sources of omega-3. And I know every morning I have a little coffee grinder that's just for
your hemp, flax seeds, your hemp, flax, yes,
and chia, and I sprinkle it on. Delicious. So it is one way to increase your HDL, your good cholesterol.
Right, by getting those appropriate fats into your body.
And eating healthy food,
yes,
exercising, all of that makes a huge difference. Also, weight loss is going to make a big difference. And decreasing your saturated fat. Oh, wait, where is saturated fat?
What's the animal products?
So knowing that. So the triglycerides, though, you want them less than 100.
Okay.
And you're going to get them. The reason they're connected to sugar is because high fat and refined carbohydrates are the ones that really trigger them and make them go up. The triglycerides.
Can you help? Could you define what is a complex carbohydrate and what is a refined carbohydrate? Yeah.
So when you're on a whole food plant-based diet, you're eating complex carbohydrates. You're eating carbohydrates that have not been stripped of all their nutrients and their fiber.
Oh, so they're complex. They're compound. They're complex. It's the sugars and the fiber together.
And a refined is white sugar, white flour.
Stripped out.
Absolutely.
Separated.
And unfortunately, you don't always know where what you're getting in products.
Right.
Okay? But most baked goods are high fat, high sugar, and refined carbohydrates.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So those are the ones that are going to more trigger your triglycerides, trigger complications with cholesterol.
Okay. Oh, and that is so helpful.
Well, and remember, complex carbs... The skin on your potato. I mean, that's so healthy and so good for you.
Yeah.
It adds more fiber. It adds more nutrients. Brown rice. Not white. I mean, white rice, I don't even get. I mean, to me, it doesn't have flavor and it has absolutely no texture.
Right. It's just like useless calories. I got some yesterday, right? And my birds over the cliff were very appreciative. That whole box just, boosh, you know, the box, of course, went in the recycling.
Because we had... food in that came with white rice. Yeah.
You know, I have to tell you, last night you would have been so proud of me. So Gary made, I'm not ratting you out, Gary, I love you. Gary made baked potatoes. He's always so good.
Baked potatoes.
Right. I mean, like I do most of the cooking, anything complex that you know requires any kind of measuring whatsoever, but he's really good at baked potatoes. He goes, I can just open the door, put a few stabs in them and put them in, right? So I'm like, yeah. So I come downstairs and you know, it's just before sunset. There was a great, awesome green flash yesterday. I don't know if you saw it. Yeah,
no,
it was really
not.
Amazing. But I took the baked potato out and I had chopped up just a fabulous, healthy, oh my gosh, such a fresh salad, put my dressing on that. And then I took the baked potato and opened it and I dumped out all the, scraped out all the contents onto my salad because I like.
Oh, I love that.
I know. Yeah. I love hot stuff, wilted salad. But then I told Gary, I said, Sherry would be so proud of me. Because then I took the skin and I used it like a little briefcase and I packed the salad and the potato
so
back
smart.
In it. Yeah, Gary goes, is that a twice baked potato? And I was like,
yes,
well, sort of,
yes,
kind of, yeah.
Why
and then I
the
ate
fat?
That. It was
so
good.
Good. Oh.
Yeah, of course there was no butter. Now, there's. Yeah.
Tell me about your salad dressing.
Well, I used the super low fat Girard's.
Okay.
Which is, I haven't graduated to completely... zero fat dressings yet.
Okay.
But super low fat champagne. It's champagne light.
Yeah, I do know that one.
And I do love the taste of that. I want you to help me figure out a recipe to get that flavor without fat. And I don't know how to do that, but it's got to be, my mouth is literally starting to water just thinking about it.
You know, I think it's doable. I think it's definitely doable. I don't know that I can get the exact flavor profile, but I think I can get something close enough because it's kind of a gentle Italian salad dressing, right?
Yeah, it's pretty vinegary,
right?
And then it's got a lot of spices in it. I wonder if I could just do it with maybe water.
But you
gotta have something
viscous.
Or
vinegar.
Yeah,
you could do cashew cream.
Oh, my God.
And make it more of a creamy Italian.
Oh, yeah. I never thought of that.
Right? Because so cashew cream is just ground up cashews and water.
Right.
That's all it is. And it turns into more of a thick, creamy.
A thicker, creamy thing,
and you could either add water with it if you want it even thinner, but you could add lemon juice and a little bit of vinegar.
Yes.
Gentle vinegar, maybe even rice vinegar, because that's got a little less acidity and a little sweetness to it. And then your Italian season. It's worth a try.
It's worth a try. I totally want to try it. I love salads and I love salad dressings, and but I there's know. A certain flavor profile I love, like wishbone Italian dressing. The flavor is just so
everybody
good.
Everybody loves that. And you know they spent big bucks making
of
you
money.
Like... See, I get so resentful. I'm like, oh yeah, forget you. I'm not going to... You spent too much money trying to convince
me. Like, I am so not going to go there. But there must be ways. And that's what I love about what you teach to me. And I know you're teaching others this as well. There are ways to eat all the foods that we love.
Absolutely.
And to enjoy them and to have them healthy. And I know I mentioned to you recently those chocolate donuts that I made.
Yep.
And I'm going to make them again. And because I had somebody get in my face recently about, oh man, it was such an ugly conversation. And this guy just went nuts about how he, you know, resents. He said something to the effect of, I never regret an animal that I ate, but I'll tell you what, I never missed a piece of broccoli. And I was like, he said something to me about later, just a couple minutes later, I was very energetic. I'm always very energetic.
Right.
And he goes, I want whatever energy pills you have. And I said, dude, it's broccoli.
Right.
It was awesome. But I told him I'm going to bring these chocolate donuts, and they're made with almond flour and all the basics for baking,
I think
right?
We looked at the ingredients. And they were fine. There's oil.
No oil, right?
Right. And it's almond flour. Yep. And almond flour is not refined. It's ground almonds.
Exactly. So, I'm making these and I'm going to take them. And the sweetener is dates.
Right.
And the oil that I use, well, two things. There's the recipe actually calls for eggs.
Oil.
It doesn't. The recipe calls for eggs and oil and added sugar. So my added sugar was dates. My added oil was not added oil. It was a little peanut butter. That's a whole food.
That's great. Or even flax seed to substitute for the egg.
And that's what I did. I put flax seed, flax eggs in there. They were so good. They were so good.
I think I need to sample them just to make sure they're really whole food.
I'm making them next week on Wednesday morning.
I'll come over and help.
Okay. All right.
Because that sounds delicious.
They're so good. Thank you for always letting me go off and on my little tangents and tell my stories.
It's what makes it fun. If we just sat here and spew out facts, nobody would care.
Right?
So let's go to the LDL.
Okay.
Okay? That's considered your bad cholesterol.
Okay.
So we've talked about your total cholesterol. We've talked about the good cholesterol, HDL,
HDL,
increase it to protect you from cardiovascular disease. And we know... flaxseed, omega-3s, chia seeds.
Walnuts.
Exercise. Walnuts are great.
Yeah.
All nuts are really good. Now, if you're trying to correct heart disease, you really want to watch out for the nuts.
Yes.
Because a lot of the studies, like Esselstyn and
Caldwell and Ornish and Bernard,
all of them say, if you have cardiac disease that you're trying to reverse, stay away from all oils and nuts or high oils.
Even when they're whole foods, as in nuts and seeds.
If you're trying to correct heart disease.
Or lose weight, right?
Well, yeah, but you could temper it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? If you're trying to lose weight, maybe it's not going to be as drastic or as rapid, but you're still going to lose weight.
Yes.
And you don't overconsume.
Yep.
You know, nuts are an addition. They're not a meal.
Right. Yes.
You
sprinkle them on your oatmeal.
Yeah.
You don't have
because they come with so many wonderful nutrients too.
Awesome.
So the LDL though is considered the bad, and that's the part that really contributes to the plaque buildup that we talked about. Okay, and that's why it's so critical and leads to a lot of heart disease.
Is it sticky? I mean, is it kind of sticky?
It is kind of sticky.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's. How to get rid of it, to decrease it.
Yeah.
We're going back to animal products. We got to get rid of the animal products.
Right.
We've got the dairy, the fried foods. So fried foods are not animal products, but a French fry, I want you to think, and this made me very, very sad because I love French fries.
Oh, I know exactly where you're going. Oh, I so know where you're going.
Most of them are fried twice.
Mm-hmm.
So you go to a restaurant, they're pretty much frozen and yep. sent in a bag. Well, yep. guess what? They were fried.
Yep. Par fried.
Before you ever got them.
Yes.
Before they ever made it to the restaurant.
Right.
And then the restaurant fries them.
Right.
So really, truly, they're just little fat bombs with salt.
I know. And the worst thing in the world is this is so gross. I'm going to tell you something
gross. Oh, no.
Yeah. When the restaurant drops the fries into the oil, that's the same oil they cook their chicken in, fingers, their fish sticks, you know, all those other gross things.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I went to a restaurant one day and they were literally pulling sausages out of the deep fryer. I was like, are you guys kidding me? You're pulling sausages out of the deep fryer? What? It's already so gross. I know. I'm like, we don't need to do it that way.
Yeah. Ew. You don't need to do it that way.
Yeah.
But another way to get rid of your LDL is, we've already talked about it, the fiber.
Yes.
Fiber will help to decrease
the little scrubbers.
LDL. And yep. that's whole food plant-based. It's only in plants. It's unrefined carbohydrates, right? They've not been stripped of all their even protein.
They're unrefined, which means they're complex,
right.
which means
complex,
they're intact.
Yep.
Compound is what I keep thinking in my head, is like a complex is a compound. It's already there. Everything's together with it.
It's a little seed. Like
yeah.
if you look at brown rice, it's yes. got that shell. It's got everything it needs.
Yeah.
So that and legumes. Beans are okay. amazing for you.
I love beans.
Okay. So we talked about cholesterol. We talked about our BMI.
Yep.
Can you tell I used to be a professor?
Yes. I love
it. So we talked about our waist circumference and
yes.
how important that is. Now we're going to talk about your blood sugar.
Okay.
And typically, you can do a fasting, right? Your doctor, if he's not overly concerned or she's not overly concerned, or your nurse practitioner, is going to order a fasting blood sugar.
Is that the same thing as a fasting glucose? Is that
yeah.
what that means?
Yeah, yeah,
same
fasting
thing.
Glucose, same okay. thing. And it's usually done in the morning before you've eaten anything, and they just want to see, is it below 100?
Okay.
Because if it's below 100, you're nice and normal. If you are pre-diabetic, it's going to be between 100 and 125. If you are diabetic, typically on two occasions, it's got to be greater than 126. Now,
in order to classify for diabetes.
For diabetes. But if you already have a high, I mean, I've had patients, I used to work at a free clinic, and I had a patient one time that came in, and I think his blood sugar was 400 and something, you know, scary stuff, because
yeah.
he doesn't know it. He just feels bad.
Yeah.
And you don't know how long it's been running.
Right. So he comes in feeling crummy, and you yeah. do this number and it's over 400.
Right.
Wow.
And that's not unusual. You see that.
Wow.
Unfortunately, a lot of times with those patients, they actually have to be hospitalized so that they can titrate the insulin, teach them, hopefully find out what's going on. But there's another test that's called an A1C.
Okay.
And that's typically used with people who already have diabetes. And it's an average over 2 to 3 months of what your blood sugars have been running. Really nice tool, right?
Yeah.
So
how did they figure that out? I mean, really, like, how did they figure that out?
I don't know.
Amazing.
I'm shredging. I'm like, because they're
yeah.
really smart.
Super smart. I love
but
it.
But if you have someone who has a fasting blood sugar of 130.
Yes.
You could do an A1C
yep.
just to kind of get an average of what it's been for the last 2 or 3 months to help you with diagnoses. But typically we use the A1C for people who are already diabetic mm-hmm. or we suspect they are, and then you can manage them. So maybe they're not doing their insulin right. I have to tell you, sometimes I would walk into the office and I would see my patients getting ready to see me.
Yep.
Especially the pregnant ones.
Yep.
And they would pull out their little blood sugar book and they would be filling in numbers.
Oh.
And it's like, okay, so you're cheating.
Yeah. Right. You're cheating. You're just making up some numbers.
They're making up the numbers because they know I'm going to go, let me see your book.
What right.
Initially, they didn't realize, new diabetics do not realize, that if you give me your machine, I can backtrack it, and I can see that you're fibbing to me.
I can see your numbers, yeah.
Pretty tricky.
Wow.
But the A1C kind of helps with that. So you want it below 5.7.
My gut sense tells me that if inflammation is such a big deal, And it is. We all know that.
And I think we're going to learn more about it.
I think so. I think the research is really ongoing about inflammation. What we're going to find out as we talk about things like metabolic syndrome, you really come back down to A1C or blood sugars, insulin resistance. The whole thing is part and parcel of all the cascade that comes from it. So I think, now I'm going to throw out my little theory here. It's maybe a good idea. But this, all of these diseases that are considered chronic diseases, whether it's heart disease, cancer, diabetes, metabolic syndrome, overweight, obesity, all of these things have a nutritional and a lifestyle component at their core. And this is probably one of the very most basic measurements that you could take to determine future health outcome based on that one A1C number.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely gives you a view of what's been happening.
Yeah.
But we don't usually use it unless it's a tool with a diagnosis.
Right.
Meaning we're not going to be doing A1Cs on everybody.
Right.
Because the fasting glucose really is a good indicator of what's happening with them.
Right now. It's a snapshot for right now. But the
really
A1C
is
kind of a snapshot for the last 3 months.
Yeah. 2 to 3 months.
Super cool. Thanks for sharing that.
When we talk about the metabolic syndrome, right? Okay, so the other lab tests that I would recommend, okay, so cholesterol, your blood glucose, your blood pressure, your BMI, your waist, is B12. Because B12 is a supplement, and we know that if you're a vegan, you need to take it. Mm-hmm. Because most people get it from animal products. But we know, we're learning that you don't always get it from animal products, that these animals are being fed more and more sterile food, because basically B12 comes from a bacteria in the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we would be getting it from the animals. Mm-hmm. So more and more people aren't getting it. And if you're over 50, you're less likely to absorb it.
Weird.
Even through the meat. Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, everything changes.
Darn it.
It just happens. So now I would do a B12. I mean, you're already going in. Why not? And then also a vitamin D. Let's check out what your D is, because more and more people between where we live, you know, I mean, right now we have beautiful sunshine, but it's also still cold out there. And so you're not getting as much sun exposure, right? And even if it is sunny, most people are putting on sunscreen. So they're not getting as much D. So B12 and D.
Okay.
All right. So last, before we run out of time, let's talk about metabolic syndrome. And really, it's quite easy. Some people are calling it not metabolic syndrome, but syndrome X.
Yes, I've heard that.
I just call it metabolic syndrome. It makes more sense to me, but I don't know.
So metabolic syndrome, is it what it sounds like? Metabolic metabolism. And metabolism, we all know, has to do with what we're putting in our faces, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So basically, it's a syndrome where we're looking at a lot of these conditions that we've already talked about, okay? So it's basically it's conditions that are all in one patient. I'm not making sense.
Yeah, you are.
But
that totally makes sense.
It's a combination of your blood pressure.
Yep.
What's your blood pressure? Do you have high blood pressure?
Yep.
Do you have high blood sugar?
Yep.
You know, are you considered pre-diabetic or diabetic? Do you have excessive fat around your waist? And do you have high cholesterol and high triglycerides? So it's a combination of all these symptoms or diseases,
factors,
whatever you want to say, that are combined to give us the diagnosis.
And is the diagnosis, whether they're calling it Syndrome X or disease, is that what you said, Syndrome X? Is that a relatively new thing? Is it kind of new to say this person has metabolic syndrome or this person has Syndrome X? Or,
you know, I don't know if they're going to say that. I don't think it's going to be on your chart. What they're going to say is you're overweight, you have hypertension, right? You have diabetes or pre-diabetes.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
But it's a good indicator for us or for care providers to understand that these people are so much at a higher risk of heart disease and stroke. And even if they're not diagnosed as a type 2 diabetic, it's an indicator they will be. So taking all those labs that you and I have already talked about is just the beginning. And to realize that when you look at your labs, and even if you're not looking at your labs, what's your waist circumference? What's your blood pressure? What's your BMI? What's your weight according to your height? Kind of a wake-up call.
Right.
That, look at this, you may not be diagnosed with metabolic syndrome.
Right.
But you're on the road to it.
Right.
And we know that the consequences of having it increases your risk for cardiovascular disease, heart attacks, strokes, and diabetes. So even if you don't have that diagnosis now, wake up, mm-hmm. change your lifestyle.
Yes.
Eat a whole food plant-based diet, reduce your cholesterol, reduce your animal fat, get out there and exercise, and eat as many plant foods as you can. Increase your fiber, increase all those phytonutrients that help to heal the body. Our body can heal itself. We know that. We
yes,
see that.
Right.
But it can't heal itself if you don't give it the fuel.
Right. Right. When we're beating it up day in,
right.
Day in, day out,
it's
every single day.
It's just trying to stay up. I mean, if you think of kind of you're doing your best just to survive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're putting in toxics, you don't get ahead.
You can't,
you
right?
Can't get
you cannot
ahead,
sweep out
right?
the chimney if you keep throwing dirt
More
into
dirt
it.
Into
yeah.
It. So realizing that you have control, you can heal your own body, is amazing to me.
What was the thing that Hippocrates said? Did I say it right, Hippocrates?
Food is thy medicine, yeah.
Yeah, let food be thy
medicine,
and thy medicine be thy food, or something like that. Why do they Absolutely. Always have all these and thys and that kind of
I
thing?
Don't
you know? I want to say
I don't
up
know,
thine.
But it's true. and it is true. We know
yes.
that. It's been proven. We've got the documentation. We've got the studies that you can reverse disease process.
Yes.
Just pick it. Tell me which disease. And there's very few that nutrition hasn't played a role in you getting it.
Right.
You acquiring that disease.
Right.
Food has played a role. So how are you going to get rid of it?
Food has to play
Change.
A role.
Mm-hmm.
It has to play a role both in what you discard from
right.
your daily habits. And, you know, that's kind of a good segue to talk a little bit about habits, right? I mean, we talk a lot, you and I, just about how we can choose our lives. We live
right.
our lives by design or default. It's total default to just default to the way, well, my society eats this way. I grew up eating
right.
this way. You know, people, it's so weird. People here in the United States, they say things like, well, I'm a carnivore. Well, I don't think most people chose carnism. They didn't. They
right.
they came out of their mother's bodies. And before they could develop their own choices, they were being fed foods that were considered
Absolutely.
Normal, right?
Oh.
So whether it was milk or cheese
right.
or pepperoni or sausage or bacon or whatever, those were the foods they grew up on before they ever had a choice.
Right. And if you think about it, people always go back to, well, it's just genetic that I have high blood pressure, or it's just genetic that I have high cholesterol. It's in my DNA. Guess what? Was it your DNA or was it your family culture
right.
that you ate meat and dairy 3 to 4 times a
right.
day? What is the difference? I remember when my son, I didn't want him to have it, and I was eating meat back then. He was like, he's so old now, he's 35. But back then, I didn't want him to have meat the first year because the pediatricians had said, don't give your kids meat the first year. I literally caught my mother-in-law with a chicken bone handing this little 8-month-old.
Oh my gosh.
And she's like, he's just going to teeth on it. I'm like,
no, he's not.
I have a teething ring. My kid's not eating meat till he's a year old. I mean, we would have head-to-head fights
wow.
over the fact that I wasn't introducing meat into my baby's life
yes.
until he was over a year old.
Wow.
It mattered to her. And believe it or not, she was a dietitian from Berkeley.
Whoa.
She had gotten her degree from Berkeley. Now, granted, that was 35 years ago that we used to fight head to toe. And if you guys want the truth, okay, really, confession time?
Yes.
I never told her that I was a vegan before she passed away.
Oh, no kidding.
I couldn't handle the battle. I mean,
yeah.
I loved that woman with all my heart.
Right.
She was my best friend before she passed away. But
yes,
I never had the heart to tell her that I didn't eat meat.
That you didn't eat meat.
Because
yeah.
it was so important to her because
yeah.
she believed if you didn't have dairy. Now, she had dairy at minimum twice a day. And this was a woman who had breast cancer twice.
Oh,
and it finally
gosh.
Took her life the second time.
Wow.
She had two different kinds. She had a regular breast cancer and then inflammatory breast cancer.
Wow.
It took her life. But she insisted. And, oh, she was so cute with my daughter. She would insist my daughter drink milk. My daughter hated milk. So what would grandma do? She'd put plastic over the cup and put in the refrigerator. And then the next time my daughter would be there, she'd go, here's your milk. And Amy would go, I'm not drinking it, Grandma. I don't like it. And so she'd put the saran wrap on it, and she would switch it every couple of days.
Gross. Oh, my gosh.
Battles over food.
Yeah.
So is it your DNA or is it your family culture?
Right, because the thing is, diets and lifestyle run in families.
Yeah,
as much as DNA runs in families.
Activity level. You know, right. Do you come from a family that's
sits in
front of a TV and eats TV dinners or eats junk food? You know, did somebody bring a pizza home and everybody's in front of the TV and eating pizza and watching TV?
Yeah.
I mean, everything is familial, and unfortunately, it's what we know.
You know, a couple of things, because I know it's time for us to wrap up, but a couple of things come to mind. I think people get this sense when they're thinking about converting to a whole food plant-based diet that, well, I'm never going to get to have all my favorite things ever again. I can't have good food. What in the world will I eat? And what they don't realize is it's super easy.
It is.
I'll tell you what, I eat spaghetti, I eat pizza, I eat tacos, I eat burgers.
Absolutely.
But everything that I eat is made with whole food and it's plant-based. So, my burger is not from a dead cow. Mm-mm. There are no dead cows in my house. In fact, we've never cooked meat in our house.
Oh, wow.
I won't do it. I just won't do it. I won't do it for guests. I won't do it for friends. I won't do it. I won't allow it. And so, sometimes when we have big parties, and we have big parties, or we'll have big groups for holidays, if they have to have meat, which I always think is really pretty creepy, they get a barbecue. We do have a barbecue, and, there's a little covered place. We are on the Oregon coast. It does rain. Okay, so that was enough of that rant. What I want to say is you can eat whatever you want.
And the food is vibrant. It's beautiful.
So
it's alive.
Yes.
And it heals your body.
Yeah, and you feel it.
You feel it. Look at a bowl of beautiful fruit and vegetables and look at a grilled piece of steak. We're talking brown versus vibrant.
Yes.
Beautiful, rich colors. And those colors are what are healing your body.
That's
part of the phytonutrients.
That's right. So eat the rainbow is what we want to tell you. Thank you so much for being part of the Ocean Mist Power Hour. Sherry Carey Baum is our co-host here. She is a certified nurse midwife, previously certified nurse midwife, family nurse practitioner, nurse for 35 years. True medical professional who also has a tremendous and deep interest in and certificates in nutrition. So thank you for sharing.
It's so much fun.
Oh, it is fun. And I'm glad you joined us as well here on the Ocean Mist Power Hour on KCIW 100.7 FM on your radio dial. We'll see you again soon. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program. The information provided is not intended to substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek the advice of your personal physician or other qualified healthcare professional before changing your healthcare treatment, diet, or lifestyle.